Negro pugilist, his name was Jack Johnson. Now old Jack Johnson, he was the toughest man in the whole wide world. He used to walk around whopping people upside the head, making all sorts of money.
Who killed Davy Moore? Why and what's the reason for? Not I, said the referee. Don't point your finger at me. I could have stopped it in the eighth and kept him from his tragic fate, but the crowd would have booed, I'm sure, not getting their money's worth. It's too bad he had to go, but there was pressure on me too, you know. It wasn't me that made him fall, you can't blame me at all. Who killed Davy Moore? Why and what's the reason for? Not us, said the angry crowd, whose voices filled the arena loud. It's too bad he died that night. We just like to see a good fight. We just like to see some sweat. There ain't nothing wrong in that. It wasn't us that made him fall. You can't blame us at all. Who killed Davy Moore? Why and what's the reason for? Not me, said his manager, puffing on a big cigar. It's hard to say, it's hard to tell. I always thought that he was well. It's too bad for his wife and kids, he's dead. But if he was sick, he should have said, it wasn't me that made him fall. You can't blame me at all. Who killed Davy Moore? Why and what's the reason for? Not me, said the gambling man, with his ticket stub still in his hand. It wasn't me that knocked him down. My hands didn't touch him none. I didn't commit no ugly sin. Anyway, I put money on him to win. It wasn't me that made him fall. You can't blame me at all. Who killed Davy Moore? Why and what's the reason for? Not me, said the boxing writer, who pounds the print in his old typewriter, saying boxing ain't to blame, there's more danger in a football game, saying fist fights here to stay, it's just the American way. It wasn't me that made him fall, you can't blame me at all. Who killed Davy Moore? Why and what's the reason for? Not me, said the man whose fists laid him low in a cloud of mist, who come here from Cuba's door, where boxing ain't allowed no more. I hit him, yes, yes, it's true, but that's what I'm paid to do. Don't say murder, don't say kill, it was destiny, it was God's will. Who killed Davy Moore? Why and what's the reason for?
He was a pugilist. He was a pugilist by preference and by profession. And one day old Jack came walking on down by the pier side. He's walking on down. His manager come walking on down by the pier side. He says, hi, Jack. He says, hi, manager. He says, what you doing? He says, I'm just walking on down by the pier side. He says, what's up? He says, I got a gig for you. He says, got a gig for me? He says, that's right. He says, whereabouts? He says, over in England. He says, what am I going to do over there? He says, well, you're going over and whop this guy upside the head and make all sorts of money.
I'm in the back of this great big auditorium where the great big white man and the great big black man are training a tremendous series of great big punches. Oh, and Herring's down in the sauce. The white man is down, and the German is up, and they're raining terrific blows on the black man. Now they're pummeling the gypsies and the Jews. Oh, band of brothers!
That's groovy, baby. That's really groovy. You give me a ticket on the next flight out. He said, ticket on the next flight out. This is 1914. Why, the Wright brothers haven't even started fooling around with Kitty Hawk yet. He said, who's she? He rolled me down on the sea. The band was playing there. My God, see. Farewell, Titanic, farewell. Old Jack says, well, how am I going to get there, baby? He says, oh, I'm going to show you. And he whips open a newspaper and shows him a picture of the USS Titanic, folks. She's the world's biggest ship. She's made out of good wood and good iron. They said she'd never get down. He
He says, you mean I'm going over on the boat? And he says, that's right, baby, you're going on the boat. He said, well, let's get some tickets. He said, all right, so I head on down to the ticket taker's place. He walks on up to the ticket taker. He walks on in and says, hey, man, I want to buy me some tickets. He said, got red ticket, green ticket, yellow ticket, blue ticket, what kind of ticket you want? I said, I want a red one. He gave him some loot and he laid it on him. He's got his ticket now. He takes everything he owns. He wraps it on up in a diaper and he hangs it on a stick over his back and goes heading on down by the pier side. He getting on down by the pier side and his manager's down there by the pier side. And there she is, folks. The USS Titanic, she's lined up beside 250 parking meters. The captain's getting done ready to split because he run out of time. Now, around this time, there was an Italian senator in the state house, and all Italian senators, them got brothers, owned construction companies, and this one had a brother, he owned a construction company, and the Titanic, she was made out of good Italian wood, good Italian, and they said she'd never get down. So there's old Jack standing on the bottom, got everything he owns wrapped on up in that diaper, hanging on a stick over his back. He shakes hands with his manager, goes walking on up the gangplank. The captain's standing on the top. He get up onto the top, and the captain look at the ticket. He look at the ticket, he look at Jack. He look at the ticket, he look at Jack. He look at the ticket, he look at Jack. He look at the ticket, he look at Jack. He look at it. He says, sorry, baby, wrong color. Says, me or the ticket? This is you.
Bailey Brothers Pharmacy, 4144 Euclid Avenue at the Cated Gorge, and clutter is open 10 to 10 after the curfew for ladies and gentlemen of the colored persuasion. Down-home savings on night oil, eyewash and lip stiffener, Dr. Baird's Witch Spray, Pixie Leech Chicken Whitener, Soil of the South Shoeshine Kits with an extra bottle of yellow, Government Agent and Welfare Police Spotting Cards, Eureka's Magic Number Pads with a lucky number for someone on every page, and a postcard picture of 103rd and Central in Chicago, Detroit, Los Angeles, Kansas City, Philadelphia, and Newark. Yes, 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 folks, remember, that's Balliol Brothers. Prescriptions filled without a prescription after 10, and loads of items not normally available in the state on display in the back. Just ask for Miss George and tell her necessity sent you.
Wouldn't let Jack Johnson on board. They said this ship don't haul no coal, fair to wear Titanic fair to wear. It was midnight on the sea, the band was playing there. My God, see, fair to wear Titanic fair to wear, yeah. So Jack says, it's all right, baby, it's all right. I'm gonna sit right here in the pier and watch you go right on down. She sails on out into the North Sea. She's out there floating around in and out between the icebergs, and old Jack standing on the pier. I gotta tell you about the people on the Titanic. Now, first of all, there's a whole bunch of Jewish people from Miami. They're jumping up and down, they're laughing, they're drinking booze, they're trading wives and Cadillacs and diamonds and having all sorts of good, clean party fun.
Hello and Happy New Year, music lovers from coast to coast. This is your announcer, Ed Cheerful, speaking from a ringside table in the once glamorous and sophisticated Hotel Hat in Uptown, Illinois, where we bring you live the fabulously successful star of stage, screen, and radio, Mr. George Tirebiter, with another edition of Tirebiter's Time Capsule. George?
Thanks, Ed, and a noggin of bubbly to you all. It's a tight fit in here in the time capsule, where everything's go for another quick trip forward, as the old saying goes, into the past. Of course, you know, we simply home in on ancient radio waves that have been radiating off the Earth ever since Tom Edison invented the microphone over 100 years ago. Our goal tonight is 1938, when famous big bands entertained at this very hotel. My producer is indicating to me that our technicians and sound effects men have located the exact coordinates. I'll just strap myself in. Watch ahead, Ed. I'm closing the door.
What? Oh, nearly gave me a nasty whack there, George. Well, we'll hear from George Tirebiter again after the time capsule carries him back to this very spot on December 31st, 1938. The patrons here, mostly retired people, seem to be enjoying the diversion of our mobile time cap team and Tirebiter's usual discomfort inside the big box-shaped time capsule. Let's see, we're preparing for launch now, just across the table. Digital reads 03 and counting, 02, 01, 00.
Oh! Oh, my goodness. Well, here I am, everybody, inside the present, looking out onto the past. Well, that is, I would be if I could see through the time capsule window.
Can you hear me, George?
I'm reading you, Ed.
Where are you, George? And here's the big question. What time is it?
Well, there's a thick coat of fallout from our time travel over the window, Ed. But I ought to be beside a ringside table in the streamlined soup and fish room of the Hotel Hat in 1938, where dozens of cats are probably swinging to the licks of Junk Jiver and his jitterbuggers.
Good. The band is on the break here, George.
Well, I'm going to bang on the side of the capsule here, Ed. Try to dislodge the fallout, but it's like a thick white table.
Wait, what's the matter, Mac? Can't you get out of your own costume? I thought you was a table before, which I need bad. Look, start with a doorman, okay? You block
the other. There you have it, Ed. Those were the first words from a man 40 years old. Well, actually, now I'd say he'd be about 70 years old, but he looks about 30 to me now. Are you reading me, Ed?
What?
Well, I'm going to see if I can talk to some of these New Year's revelers here. You, sir.
What's up? Hi, everybody. Hey, where are you supposed to be, Buck Rogers? No. Mind if I get in there with you?
Oh, well, I'd like to ask you some important social questions. Oh, please, watch where you're sitting.
Hey, Tuts, lift up the tablecloth. Look at this thing.
Oh, sir, these questions I have are very...
Do you want to dance?
Loosen up, baby.
Excuse me. I'm George Tirebiter, and I'm here from the future, 40 years from
now. Sure you are, buddy. Have another drinky-drinky.
Yeah. Can I sit on your lap, honey?
Waiter, another round here.
Yes, sure.
Hey, Stowe, Lily, come on in here. Meet this guy. Old Kyle George Firefighter.
A tire biter.
All right, now this is Stu Kugelman.
How do you do?
Lily Lamont.
Hello, yes.
This is a big radio star.
Lily Lamont? Why, this is extraordinary. Lily, it's me, George, your former husband. Don't you recognize me?
Don't be silly. The only George Firefighter I know is a much younger man.
Yes, I was.
And I wouldn't marry him on a bed.
Oh,
come on, you two, get in here. We're trying to set a record.
No, that's not a good idea.
Hey, what kind of a phone booth is this?
Hey, will somebody scratch my nose?
Lily, it's really me. Didn't George Tirebiter give you a diamond engagement bracelet?
No, he didn't.
Didn't he give you anything?
Yes, a sick headache.
Excuse me, but I'm afraid Mr. Hat has requested that you leave immediately, sir, and take your bizarre device with you.
Hey, I was just starting to have some
this
fun.
This is not a bizarre device. This is an important scientific tool.
Hey, that's a great line, buddy. Mind if I try that on my girlfriend?
Sir, you are blocking the eye.
Oh, all right. Please, everybody, just don't touch anything. I'm going to go back now to 1978.
Sure you are, buddy. I'm going to help you. Listen, let me spin this knob here.
Careful, please. Where was the switch set?
George? We seem to be having transmission difficulties from George Tirebiter's time capsule.
Happy New Year, Ed!
So we'll try to get back to that for you a little later. Until next time, this is Ed Cheerful speaking.
And the walls, the people who run the boat. Now the people who run the boat, they know all about running boats. They know all about hoisting up landlubbers and battening down hatches and doing all sorts of other good things like all good sailors do when they're far away seeing. Captain, not a captain, you know how to walk like a captain, write like captain, walk like captain, talk like captain, smell like captain, eat like captain, do all sorts of captain things. Then there was the first mate. Now I gotta tell you about the first mate. Now the first mate, he don't know nothing about Jewish parties. He don't know nothing about hoisting up landlubbers. He don't know nothing about captains either. He wants to go over to England. He want to play his guitar. He want to run around, chase women, have all sorts of good time. Anyways, this fella, his sideburns, they're just a little too long. He give away, see? He been down in Mexico, he been working in this rope factory down in Mexico now. Down in Mexico, they make rope out of this funny little hemp plant that grows wild in the ground. Some of you people grow it in flower pots under your bed. Anyways, down there, and he's making rope out of this funny marijuana plant. And one day, the rope factory, she catch fire, and he run back on in to save his lunch. He's got two sardine sandwiches. Running back on in to save his lunch, he gets inside, and there's all this funny smoke floating around up inside, and he gets some of this funny smoke up inside his head, and he sit down in the middle of the fire, and he say,
age, you guys. Just at the age when you're looking for an interesting and exciting career in the military, get into the sky where they can't find you, higher than you've ever been before, behind the border, as a proud member of the Free Mexican Air Force.
Yes, skimming low out of border canyons and across below sea level salt flats, you'll be jockeying the big birds, V-25s, flying uncounted tons of contraband into these United States.
Yes, spreading Mexico's natural resources is a really fine job for any young man of military age. So take off with guys like me in the Free Mexican Air Force.
Up on up in a diaper and a knapsack, dude. He hanging on down to the Titanic. He get to the Titanic. He standing on the bottom, walking on up the gangplank. The captain standing on the top. The cap says, "What you got, boy?" I says, "I'm coming on. This is what you got." And this is where I got me two changes of BVDs. I got me my guitar. I got me my address book. A pair of socks. Four Mass Marvel comic books. A tennis racket. And 497 and a half feet of rope. He says, 497 and a half feet of rope. What do you got that for? He says, oh, I just carry it.
Just shinny up the post and get in.
Oh, my goodness gracious me. I don't have to do that. No. I can perform the Indian rope trick for you.
The Indian rope trick? I've heard about that. Can I see it?
You can do it yourself, Dave.
Really?
Let me give you a helping hand. Drag on this rope.
Here we go.
Higher and higher into the...
Ah.
This is all right, go on board, and he did. It was midnight on the sea, the band was playing, yeah, my God, farewell, Titanic, farewell. Now they wouldn't let Jack Johnson on board, they said the ship don't haul no coal, farewell, Titanic, farewell. That brings us up to what's happening now. Titanic, she's floating around, headed out between the icebergs. The Jewish people are partying, they're trading wives and Cadillacs and diamonds. They're drinking booze and having all sorts of party fun. Everybody else is hoisting up landlubbers and battening down hatches. The first mate is hanging over the rail, he's having himself a little smoke. He's digging the iceberg, having himself a little smoke, and it's the captain's time to do his thing. The captain comes on out. Remember I told you about the captain? He knows how to walk like Captain, ride like Captain, talk like all sorts of captain. He comes on out and he's standing on his thing right now. Is that he's got to go out and test the wind, so he casts his nose up into the north wind and he goes. First mate, he says, "Hey, first mate, what's that you smoking?" He says, "That ain't nothing but a little cigarette, Captain." He says, "I don't believe it. Give me a puff."
I didn't sign my life away on this ill-fated ship to sail the empty ocean in search of a figment of the captain's hullabaloo-tion. I've got enough trouble finding my own. Got any rope?
Ah, here.
Nothing like a little Manila yeller to put you straight. I can see it all now. For miles and miles.
I can see a doomed ship with a crew of dead men and a captain with a wooden head.
Shut up, you. If the captain ever hears you talk about his head, you'll have yours. Swinging from the yard arm. Yard farm.
Get me down, they're gonna be sick.
Shut up, you. All right, put on your slickers, men. And let's back to work now.
Give me some rope or blow some
meat. All right. Captain, take himself a little puff. Nothing happened right away. He says, "It's all right. It's all right. It's just a cigarette. I'm going for a walk." That's what it did, folks. He went for a walk. He went out walking around the boat. He went walking toward the wheelhouse. He walked around. He walked around the wheelhouse once.
Twice.
dismay, he looked on over at the captain. And he say, "You want another talk, Captain?" And the captain, he say, "Right." So this time he's gonna tell the captain a little bit about the smoke that he's smoking. He says, "Now, the idea, Captain, the idea is to get the smoke way down deep inside your tummy and hold it there just as long as you can. It'll make your head feel good all inside." So the captain says, "All right," he take himself three big pokes off that funny little brown weed. He says, "I'm commencing to hold it in." He walked around the wheelhouse, he went downstairs, he laid down, up, he ran in the other room, he sent a radiogram. He came on back in, he took a shower, he come out, he shaved. He laid down and got up again, he turned on the television, he turned off the radio. He played a game of cribbage, he read a Smash Marvel comic book. He walked in the kitchen, made a cup of coffee, sat down, ate a piece of pie, went upstairs, played another game of cribbage, went back in, finished his other Smash Marvel comic book. Laid down, he had the television, the radio, the egg beater, the air conditioning, everything's all going at once. He walks up on deck and this is 52 minutes later and his caddy breathe yet. So the first mate see him standing up there on the rail, he's all puffed up like a balloon. He says, "You gotta let it out, Captain."
Marijuana's march through history. 1938, Hollywood, California. The last of shooting for Gone the Wind.
Miss Gable, are you ready?
Yes. Give me 1 second, please. One second.
Clark, baby, mind if I come into your trailer?
Sure, come right in.
Okay, Clark, today's the last scene of the movie, you know, and Scarlett's trying to stop you from leaving, but you're not buying her act this time.
No.
You turn to her with a look of scorn tinged with sadness, and then you say, "Frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn."
Frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn.
Oh, beautiful, Clark,
love
baby,
it.
You're a star.
Yeah,
love it. You'll get it.
Listen.
You're going to nail this
can
one,
you
baby.
Just give me 1 second before
sure,
we start?
Sure, you need your quiet time, I understand.
Yeah, you got it. Thought I was never going to be able to smoke this. Been working on this motion picture for 6 months now. I deserve this. Just one more hit. Vivian, my dear, how are you this lovely morning?
Wonderful, Clark. Oh, no, Clark. You haven't been smoking some of that Atlanta Red, have you?
Don't worry about me, kid. Just a couple tokes. I've got one line. No problem here.
Okay, Clark, Vivian, baby. Yeah. Places. Okay, here we go.
Yeah.
Rhett leaves Scarlet. Take one.
Oh, Rhett, what will I do?
Frankly, I give a damn, and a real big one.
Cut. That's not the line there, Clark. It's a, frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn.
Oh, my fault.
Okay, let's try it one more time.
Last day nerves.
Okay, Rhett leaves Scarlet. Take two.
Oh, Rhett, what will I do?
Frankly, my damn, I don't give a dear.
No, cut. That's wrong.
What, Clark.
You said, "Frankly, my damn, I don't give a dare or some damn thing." That's not the right thing.
I got it backwards.
Yeah, you switched them around. Let's try one more time.
Vivian, sorry.
Okay, Rhett Lee Scarlet, take three.
Oh, Rhett, what will I do?
Frankly, Frank, is my character's name Frank by any chance?
No, Clark, cut.
Kids,
what to do? You need some discipline, Clark.
It's getting off. It's getting off.
One more.
All right, everybody, calm down.
Sorry.
Take number 74, yep. Red leaves Scarlet. Don't blow it, Clark. Thank you.
Oh, Red, what will I do?
Frankly, I gave it the office.
God.
Stay tuned for more of Marijuana's March Through History.
What have you been doing back there?
I haven't been doing anything.
Clark, I don't know what it is.
I give a damn.
I know it's not me, baby.
Obviously you don't.
So the captain, he let it all out at once. Falling right down on the wheelhouse floor, he's out cold. Oh, this brings us up to
what's happening again, folks. The Titanic is sailing around in between the icebergs. Everybody else is having parties. The Jewish people are up and up and down. They're trading wives and Cadillacs and diamonds and drinking booze. Everybody else is hoisting up landlubbers, battening down hatches and doing sail things. The first mate's hanging over there rail. He's having himself a little smoke and digging icebergs. And the captain's out cold on the wheelhouse floor. Midnight on the sea, the band was playing him, my God, see, farewell, Titanic, farewell. Now he wouldn't let Jack Johnson on board, they said the ship don't haul no coal, farewell, Titanic, farewell. All of a sudden, the captain's eyes popped wide open and stood right up straight, grabs a hold of the wheel, looks on out at the bow of that boat, and he say, I'm gonna move you, baby. And it did right on into an iceberg, and she went right on down.
The Firesign Theater presents Victimary at Sea, somewhere in the South Pacific, 1943.
Two.
Captain! Captain, fighter planes at 12 o'clock, sir.
Don't worry, bosun. It's only 11:30. Now give me my binoculars. By God, they're Japanese!
The planes?
No, my binoculars. Now, don't worry, men. The planes are flying farther and farther away. Bye!
Captain, turn your binoculars around.
Thank you, Henderson. By God, you're right. They're getting closer and closer.
Dive!
That's an order! Dive! Okay!
Captain, begging your permission, sir.
Beg away.
The men have asked me to tell you, this isn't a submarine.
The Firesign Theater, Sundays on Radio Free Oz at the Magic Mushroom, from 9 o'clock until midnight.
Equal midnight, I'm a sea, the band was playing in my godsy. Farewell, Titanic, farewell. Goddy, wouldn't get Jack Johnson on board. He said, the ship don't haul no coal. Farewell, Titanic, farewell. That's the true story of the Titanic, folks. She went right to the bottom. She took with her all the Jewish people, all the first mates. She took with them the captain. She took with them the landlubbers. She took with them the mass Marvel comic books, the tennis racket, and 497 and a half feet of rope. Meanwhile, back on the stateside, old Jack Johnson, why, he's standing up on the pier. He's fishing away. He's got himself a little stick and a line, and he gets a tug. He pulls it on up. It's a big, wet, blue, soggy mess, and on the inside on the line, and written in big gold letters, it says, USS Titanic, and stuck right above it was a wet roach. That boy was so happy, he started doing the Eagle Rock up and down that pier like it's going out of style. He's going to do the Eagle Rock now. Everybody in for the Eagle Rock. See, the band was playing near my God. Farewell, Titanic, farewell. Not even that Jack Johnson on board. He said, this shit's a horrible call. Farewell, Titanic, farewell. Farewell, Titanic, going down.